Wednesday, the 31st day of January. The purpose of today is to read the following book. Here's the title twice slowly. Patriots, a novel of survival of the coming, survival in the coming collapse. I say again, Patriots, a novel of survival in the coming collapse. The author is James Wesley Rawls. There's not many novels that have an index, but this novel has an index. I think you'll find it fascinating and a very good read. We have patient Wayne in the green room, my friend, Professor James McCanney. Professor McCanney taught astrophysics at Cornell University. He taught mathematics at Cornell University. He's the author of about a dozen books, more to come as he finds the time. He's an advanced archaeologist, amateur archaeologist, advanced to the point where foreign governments consult with him about matters of archaeology. And he has a weekly radio talk show, and his website is linked to my links page at thelibertyman.com. Good morning, Jim. Good morning, Jim.
Jim, we're not good here. Morning, John.
There you are.
I'm hoping our sound is going to hold today. How does it sound?
It sounds fine.
Okay.
Are you someplace where
I
that
hope,
could be?
Okay.
Well, you like to spend a lot of time south of the border.
Yeah.
And sometimes you're in places.
Yeah, this time kind of north of all borders.
North of, okay, well, hopefully it's not too cold where you are. Well, Jim, you pay attention to a lot of things going on. What's high on your radar you want to talk about this morning, sir?
A number of things. Excuse me. The world is not ready for what's going to happen in the next, I would say, 6 months. Now, last week, I talked about AI. Remember, I was talking about ALICE, the PSYOPS program. And the
right.
Woman's going to marry her bot boyfriend.
Right.
Thing.
Right.
And these are like test probes from right. what I can determine. And things like TikTok and social media, which has been around, of course, for a while. But the level at which this has the public consumed, in other words, it has is literally taken over the lives, the minds and lives of people on a grand scale. And, okay, so that's like this, you know, in fishing, I don't know if you ever go fishing and you have your regular hook and you got the bait. And there's something called a stinger hook, which is a little hook that sticks out farther, and it's just a hook.
Right.
So if the fish comes in and kind of nibbles at the bait, because there's a smart fish, then they don't see the stinger hook, and they get caught by the stinger hook. And, you know, another example would be drugs. They say somebody, or alcohol, similarly. People like have a drink, or they have the, you know, back in the old days, people would have a joint, marijuana, but then they go to a party and, oh man, you got to try this. And so, you know, I saw so many friends go down this road and then go to the next level and the next level. And then before you know it, you know, you don't know who they are. And that's what's going on with the internet control and AI creeping in. And AI is there, but the people that worry that it's going to be what they call sentient or human-like, I don't worry about that because it's never going to be human-like. I don't care how much people think it is or how much they have a robot woman that talks like a woman and kind of like blinks her eyes and people go, oh, it's
right.
like human. No, I am not worried about that at all. What I'm worried about is the even really crummy AI ability to take over people's lives and just their minds and lives. It's like a lot of things. A cheap imitation is the worst thing you can have. It's like when, say, you invite somebody over to your house and they invite somebody and it's not the person you invite, it's the person they invite that's the problem.
Right. Right.
And so you have all of these different ways of looking at this, but the public is just not aware, and they're certainly not ready for what's about to just come on the scene full force this summer in terms of internet control. And then if you mix that with some other kind of event, say another COVID event or something. A expanded war, or, you know, I don't know. There's 10 things you could guess, but combined with something else, what gives them a reason to come in and say, okay, we really got to clamp down on this internet thing. Everybody needs their ID to access the internet. There's too much cyber, corruption going on, which all could be solved easily. The government could have solved internet corruption long, long time ago. But they want it there because if they close it down to hackers and wannabes, then they close it down to themselves, and they don't want that. And so I talk about that in my book, The Breaking RSA Codes for Fun and Profit. I talk about the motivation for the NSA and the CIA and the other intel agencies to keep your computer and phone open. Just a comment that people are not ready for what's coming down the pike here. And then just one last comment. I don't know how long, maybe as much as 10, maybe 8 years ago, I started a program to a development program, and it was called Windows 11 OS. It was called Windroid. I think it was like that. I combined Android and Windows.
Right.
And it was a technology to replace the operating system in your phone with one that was user-friendly, did not have all the AI hooks in it and all the government hacking hooks, into it that they can control and see all your data. And what happened, I'll just preface that by saying today people are doing the same, and they're trying to sell a product that they say, now you can load this into your computer, kind of like Unix or one of the operating systems, and you have more control. And the reality is that the hooks for control are in the hardware. So I don't care what kind of operating system you put in, and that's why I stopped that effort, is because the next generation of phones that came out of China all had the hooks right in the hardware. So I don't care what kind of operating system you put on top of that.
You can't make it go away.
It's not going to be in control.
Right.
Yeah. So anyway, and so all of the phones, all the computers, everything now, the control is in the hardware. And I don't care what operating system you put on top of that, it's not going to, the real control is in the hardware. So anyway, one could conceivably put another layer outside of that. But anyway, that's getting into kind of like spy versus spy, the old comic book.
Right.
Where, one does one thing and the other does the other, and it's just a game of one-upmanship. But ultimately, the average person on the street is not going to have those kind of tools at all. This is coming in around May, the time frame that I have projected. So it's
May of this year?
May of this year, yeah, yes. Where it's going to really come on full. What's going on right now is kind of like the stinger hook. It's like that invisible thing that gets people locked into TikTok or, watching short videos for hours a day, that kind of thing. And it's all maybe relatively good content. You have, reasonable people like Jordan Peterson or other people out there that are, maybe have good content. But there's the old expression, if you want to catch fish, you got to have good bait.
Right.
So this is all bait. This is all baiting people into this daily use of the telephone or computer to, tap into the internet, which is, it's a wonderful tool. And it's a, an amazing feature of modern life, but it's also very controlling.
Very controlling. Well, there's ways to counter this. I routinely let people know that I don't access the internet on my telephone. Now, when I leave home, I have a special Faraday bag made by a company called Mission Darkness. I say again, Mission Darkness. When I place the phone in here and close it up properly, the phone cannot send or receive any signal whatsoever. And when I leave home, typically I only need the phone in case there's an accident. I don't need to be talking to somebody when I'm away from home. I simply don't need to. So I can't be tracked, and I can't send or receive any messages unless I remove the telephone from that bag. And it gives me an extra layer of privacy, Jim.
Well, yeah, that's really interesting. I have something that happened to me. You know, I travel, and of course I have to be in other vehicles if I'm driving or something like that. And I had an experience recently with a 5G phone, and as much as I hate to say it, you know, sometimes you need tools. So anyway, I get in this car, and it's a new car. You know, it's a modern vehicle, and it keeps shutting off and having problems electrically. And so anyway, as it turned out, somebody else then took over driving, and I was in the back seat, and the car just drove fine. I get back in the driver's seat, and the car shuts off. I'm like, what the heck's going on here?
Right.
You know, am I emitting an electrical signal that this car, and then I go, electrical signal, wait a minute, it's my phone. My phone was shutting that car off. There was some interacting signal. And the part of the issue was, this was way away from cell phone towers. So the phone was sending really powerful signals, you know, because what they do is they send out a signal. If there's a nearby tower, okay, they got connected. If nothing comes back, then they send a more powerful signal, and more powerful and more powerful until they finally connect with something.
Right.
Well, it gets to the point where they're really blasting out there. And so I'm in an area where there's no cell phone towers at all. So this phone is probably maxed out on trying to search for cell towers. So anyway, interestingly enough, it was the phone interacting with the car.
Amazing. That's amazing.
Yeah, so your bag, believe me, I'll be getting one of them myself.
Right. Well, they're available on Amazon. I don't sell these myself, but the name of the company, once again, is Mission Darkness. It's a high-quality bag. A friend of mine, he's a highly well-advanced IT person that works for a Fortune 500 company doing IT work, and he uses it himself, and that's how I found out about it, Jim.
Hmm. Interesting. Interesting. Yeah, well, we're, you know, talk about Brave New World. we're living it daily.
Absolutely. Well, Jim, I'd like to get an archaeological update every week. Do you have one for us this week, by any chance?
Yeah, I happened to watch a show this week on the History Channel. And, of course, the History Channel, like National Geographic Channel and a lot of them, are just full of what you might call standard science, standard archaeology, etc. And they try and be controversial, but the controversies are pretty minimal.
Right.
But they were pushing the idea that there was an archaeologist, and then there was a guy who claims to be an engineer, and I've seen him on internet before, claiming that the pyramids were built by the pharaohs, by the Egyptians, with, you know, if you can't move this block, just throw another 1,000 slaves on there with loincloths and hemp rope, and that solves your problem.
Exactly.
And, you know, and then they say, well, you could build sand ramps to roll these things up. Well, you know, with a 50-ton block, it's going to sink into the sand.
That'd be the end of that real quick.
Yeah. Anybody who's done anything, you know, trying to move stuff.
Well, a child in a sandbox, you know, you figure that out. You can't push a toy truck through dry sand.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Were they making a convincing argument?
Well, no, it was just all hand waving.
Right.
And I'm there like, you know, and, you know, luckily there are quite a few people now that are making headway on the internet and on podcasts and things like that, that, hey, wait a minute. You know, this was not something, this was not an afternoon project. But the one thing the one guy did, who was a trained archaeologist, he said, with the million blocks in the Great Pyramid, you would have, and it was done in like, what, a, so supposedly, you know, maybe a 20-year period or something under right. some pharaoh for, they still claim it's for the graves.
Yeah,
all,
well,
although
why would a grave need air vents?
A dead body in a...
Yeah, right. Why would a grave need air vents?
But, lots yeah. of questions.
I know.
Yeah. So anyway...
There was a book written by a French gentleman who has a PhD in concrete. His analysis was that the blocks are actually concrete blocks. They're not stone. They're not carved stone at all. He points out that in a natural stone that you get from a quarry, the sediment, well, seashell sediment, all the seashells are flat, laid on top of one another. When he says, when you look at these blocks, the seashells are all mixed up, you know, which doesn't happen in a natural formed rock.
In real life. Well,
in real life, right.
I don't know. The other thing, though, is they know the quarries where these things came from, where they were cut. And then there's still some of them, you know, partially cut in there, like some of the obelisks. One of the more famous obelisks is still in the bedrock, connected.
Right.
But it's there. It's all carved, you know. And then it would have had to been moved 500 miles across the river Nile, and through the desert and over some minor mountains.
Well, that's true. And if these were concrete blocks poured in place, that eliminates most of the logistical issues that are associated with building these structures.
Right. But then again, they would have been poured as a separate unit and then moved to be in place. You know, what's the drying time for cement? You know, and you can put stuff on some...
Well, I've done commercial concrete work when I first got out of high school, so I have some working familiarity with that. Typically, overnight, it's dry enough that you can start, you know, not to treat it too gently. 30 days is the drying period to have it cured to the work and start bearing weight. And that's with modern
concrete. So, yeah, I mean, 30, you take a million blocks, multiply it by 30... days, and
you could do one layer, a layer of blocks at a time, not all the blocks
potentially. Yeah.
So it'd be a layer of blocks.
So anyway, we can
talk about.
I'm sure if you got into
until the cows come home.
Right.
But the bottom, you know, there's multiple books written about the pyramids. The whole belief that they were built as graves is an absolute fantasy. We can absolutely agree on that, can't we, Jim?
Right, exactly. But it's not just the pyramids. It's all the other stuff there. The columns, the structures, the hieroglyphics. There's so many questions there. And these obelisks, which are huge, massive, you know, like hundreds right. of tons types of right. stones. And then the fact that they still have some in the quarry. Like in Easter Island, that's another example where the quarries still have some of the artifacts there.
Absolutely. Here's our break. Call number is 512-248-8252. We'll be right back.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Black Owl Coffee, and I started Black Owl because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it. And how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get. And you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork. Raised the way nature intended.
Back, ladies and gentlemen. Jared Moore here on Wednesday, the 31st day of January. This hour is sponsored by the Energy Cleaner. If you're tired of being tired, check out the Energy Cleaner. Details at thelibertyman.com. Living with Professor James McCanny, his website's linked at my links page at thelibertyman.com. Jim, you have a weekly talk show. Tell us how people can listen live and to the archives, if you would, please.
Yes, John. Tomorrow night would be Thursday evening, 6 p.m. Central Time, from WWCR Nashville, Tennessee, the James McCanny Science Hour at the Crossroad, airing in its 24th year, commercial-free airing, and then it replays many times, all the different ways to listen on my webpage. And just a quick note about my webpage. It has been having difficulties for many months, and so what I'm doing is I'm going back to my old web page, and I'm going to maintain it myself. It's right now kind of a mess, so I expect it to be back up and with all the radio shows there, all the archives there very soon, probably within the next day or so.
All right. Well, you've had trouble with, we don't know who, hacking and hurting your website, haven't we, sir?
Jim? Yeah, right. And there's two sides to that. There's protection that shouldn't... Hello? Yeah.
I'm here. Go ahead, Jim.
There's protection that should be done also. And that I know how to do myself. And so when you depend on other people, they don't get it. Let's put it that way. That's going on right now. The archives will be there, and a lot of people writing in, hey, where's your radio show for this week, et cetera.
Right,
that will be back shortly.
So despite the hacking, you're able to recover and rebuild your website to be as good as it was before?
Okay. Oh, yeah, yeah. It'll, yeah, it, absolutely, yeah. And then going forward, there's a lot that's going to happen to it very soon. The thing right now is just to get it back up and operational.
Well, it's a challenge, isn't it?
Yeah, it's always a challenge. And that's a big site. It's like 15 gigabytes. A lot of that is the radio shows, and there's a lot of content there. Anyway, that's a big effort. But by the way, that's not the water filter page. That's just my J. McKinney Science page. The water filter page has been good and stable.
Good. Glad to hear that. Glad to hear that. What direction would you like to go next, sir?
Well, this is an interesting story. You remember that the submersible that was going down, they were going to start to explore the Titanic and actually bring some artifacts back. I think they'd already done that,
but
they had already
brought
some artifacts back.
There have been, you're right.
Yeah. But anyway, somebody went down then to check out because this thing, they said, imploded. And almost immediately, this is an interesting story from the beginning, almost immediately the Navy came out with a report stating that the submersible had just collapsed. And what's interesting is the guy who designed it said, no, that could not have happened. It was made out of carbon fiber, I guess, and the structure, he said it was nowhere near the point where it would be at risk. So anyway, this other company goes down and finds it, and they said, no, it was not because of compression. It did not implode from the pressure, and it showed signs of damage, external damage. And one article I saw talked about maybe a sea monster down there that tried to eat it or something.
Really?
And I thought, well, that's pretty weird. Somebody tries to make a pretty unreasonable explanation like that. But apparently, and I'm just saying apparently because I don't know the whole story, this is from what I'm reading and what I'm reading into it, is that there was some sabotage on that unit. And so people are looking into that that was not a natural cause or a failure of the vehicle. And so anyway, that's a story that we can follow here for a while, but it appears that there was something else that happened to that vehicle, which then brings up the question, if somebody trying to sabotage that, what's the motivation? And then if you go back to the very beginning where the Navy happens to be out in the middle of the North Atlantic and is able to report immediately that this thing imploded. Well, wait a minute. What's the Navy happened to do out, over the Titanic, which is in the middle of nowhere?
Right.
It just with Johnny on the spot to report that it imploded. So, there's more questions immediately arise.
Absolutely. Well, we'll get back to the discussion after the bottom of the hour break. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Dear Liberty Man, my aches and pains are making it hard for me to sleep at night. What's a girl to do? Sleepless in St. Louis.
Dear Sleepless, I recommend the Energy Cleaner. The Energy Cleaner transmits a healing electrostatic signal to every cell in your body, flushing out toxins, relieving pain, aiding with sleep. The Energy Cleaner is sold exclusively at my website, thelibertyman.com. And Sleepless, there is a bonus. Signed, the Liberty Man.
Thanks to the energy cleaner and the Liberty Man, I'm sleepless no more. There he is now. Hold on, Sandman. Thank you, Liberty Man.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off LLC, 417-932-6419.
But I'd like to ask each of you what it is you value so highly that you are willing to fight and possibly die for. We will call that Texas. The Mexican army hopes to lure us into attempting escape. Almost anything seems better than remaining in this place, penned up. If, however, we force the enemy to attack, I believe every one of you will prove himself worth 10 in return. We will not only show the world what patriots are made of, but we will also deal a crippling blow to the Army of Santa Ana.
If anyone wishes to depart, under the white flag of surrender, you may do so now. You have that right.
But if you wish to stay here with me in the Alamo, we will sell our lives dearly.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. At my website at thelibertyman.com, you'll see in bright red headline, John's warning about COVID vaccines, May 7th, 2020, 8-minute audio clip from my show that day with Dr. Horowitz, where I state two things which Dr. Horowitz agreed with. First of all, you cannot develop a safe and effective vaccine in 9 months or less. Of course, that's true. Number two, the vaccines, in my opinion, at the time I had no evidence, but now I do, evidence that the vaccines were already in refrigerators waiting to be released. And they're going to do it again. It may be Ebola, it may be disease X, but you can be sure that they've already got the vaccines ready to go for the next pandemic that they've got planned. All right, visiting with Professor James McKinney. His website's linked at my links page at thelibertyman.com. Jimmy, ready for our next caller? Hello, Jim.
I just wanted to comment on what you were saying there, John.
Sure.
And you were talking about the next plandemic. The timing, of course, they have to control the upcoming election. That is... you know, I'm going to mention something else, that It's very clear to me that Tulsi Gabbard, remember her, Democrat, won the Iowa primary in 2020. No question about it. She just, by a landslide, won that. And she would have been, you know, then hurled into the next primaries, etc. But they, remember, they waited 2 weeks to announce the winner. But the Democratic Party could not let her up on the podium. So anyway, I just wanted to add that. There's no question she won that. But the regarding the next pandemic, they have to control the upcoming election. I mean, that's just, it's no longer about you voting or the populace or what they want or don't want. It's about the political parties controlling the elections. That's what's going on.
All right. Our next caller is Matt in Arkansas. Good morning, Matt.
Morning, Professor McKinney. I have a question for you about the education research that you did on your podcast some time ago. You spent a long time researching education, and my first question is, was it on the public school system or the college system?
Both. Both. I mean, from preschool to PhD.
My question, I know it's going to be hard for you to summarize all that material, but I would just like a quick overview on what the main issue is in the public school system. My son, we homeschooled him till he was 10, and he wanted to try public school and do sports. And he came home his first day and said, you know, Mom and Dad, you know, I don't like it, but we thought he should not quit until he gave it a full try. Well, he started in the seventh grade and finished, you know, out, and did enjoy sports, but we saw a light go out from his eyes that still hasn't returned. And so what would you say has some of the main factors that have really caused our public schools to go down?
Well, the biggest thing is you're no longer taught to think. The idea of diversity, for example, is that everybody is different. Well, what do they do in school? Everybody is the same. You all learn the same thing. Everybody sits in the same classroom. Everybody reads from the same book. And if you pass the test and regurgitate back to them what you read in the book, you get an A. That's the valedictorian, the person that memorizes and repeats the best wins. And the person who has ingenuity or creativity is completely squashed. There is none. And I've seen a lot of people, I've said this before, a lot of people recently, Jordan Peterson, other people, that how can you go through this entire school program and never analyze what the kids' talents are? It's not there. The syllabus that the teachers are teaching by is programmed. You cannot say anything that's not in that syllabus lest some parent sue you. So you have to stick with that syllabus. And this is, I don't care what level of school you're at. And I've been on both sides of the desk a lot of years teaching. But when you have the syllabus there, you have to write the syllabus, everything you're going to teach. And you put it in there and you submit it, and it's on record. And that's what you can teach and nothing else. So anyway, it's a failed system. It's from end to end, top to bottom, side to side, teachers unions, throw in everything, you know, in the kitchen sink, and education is simply a failure. And then you have alternative types of education that are similarly failures. You know, I'd have Montessori, where they have a little more openness, but no structure. Well, students need structure, too. You know, so, it's a disaster. It's an absolute disaster. But what happens? You're talking about homeschooling. How many parents are set up to educate their kids from preschool to college? Nobody. That's an impossible task. You know, even for somebody, say, like me, if I had little kids or something, and I would try and train them from the time they're little to they're grown up, it would be impossible. And I'm probably one of the more tuned people you'll meet on the planet. So it's just, for the average parent, it's an impossible task. So education, and then in addition, even if you try to homeschool or have a private school or whatever, some of the private schools very good, you know, where they're very conscious, very good staff, you have to be accredited. And that's the other hook in education, is no matter who you are, no matter how you educate, you have to be accredited. And that's the final hook that they have in the whole education system, because you have to get to the end of eighth grade and you have to take this test, and all the teachers have to teach a certain amount of material to be accredited. That's the accreditation hook. I talk about this in my education course. I talk about all of this. And that's why my education course is designed for parents. It's not for the kids. The parents, if you educate the parents, they can teach the kids, you know, turn around. But the first thing I do is I take the parents aside, because they were educated in the same raw system, you know, that has, you know, no clothes. So you first have to take the parents aside. Go ahead. Yeah, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. Excuse me. Refer me to either one or two books or websites that you ran across when you were doing research that provide a good overall history of what's happened to our public school system?
I don't. Offhand, no.
Okay, John.
You know, and there's probably, there's probably many of them out there.
That'd be a good question for Jeff Nyquist. I can tell you real briefly that what the communists focused on was to take over the schools to teach the teachers, and they were quite successful, and journalism schools also. That's the two things they focused their energy on.
My last question.
Very good point.
Sorry to take up so much time, but John and Professor McCanny, one of the biggest problems I see is that we still have good people in both the medical institution. I agree with you, John. It's the greatest crime, the vaccine. I'm glad you keep saying that. But one of the problems I run into repeatedly is that we still have good teachers toiling away in a bad system, and good people in the medical system. And so it makes it to where you can't broach the subject, if you know, in church or wherever, because people look at you like you are coming against the only system we have. And so I'm going to ask both of you how you deal with the fact that there are good people still slaving away in the both those systems. How do you deal with that problem?
Yeah, well, just one other point is that if you go through the American education system, probably close to 90% of the people in that education system that have contact with students or the teachers are women. Nothing against women, but you can't have education with 90% women. I'm sorry. You need the male, you have to have an equal number to get a balance, just like in what they're finding in homes today, is that the broken homes where there's no husband, there's no dad there, are the ones that have both the daughters and the sons, not just the sons, but the daughters too, end up with problems later in life. They have all kinds of issues that they're dealing with when the father is not in the home. Well, what do you think happens in the school when there's no men? You know, it's you cannot have that, period. And unfortunately, when I was young, I was educated by nuns. I was in a Catholic school with all nuns, grade school, high school. And a lot of them were pretty rough. You would have rather had a man spanking you than one of them nuns, believe me. But we learned some discipline, and I became very disciplined in my studies, things like that. So there's a lot of good things. But in modern education, never say boo to little Johnny or little Susie, you know, and it's no. School is to put in, it's not just about book learning. It's about gaining character and learning how to act and all of the diversity and all of the other things. You know, don't say anything bad to anybody. No, that's not how it works. That's not how you raise disciplined, smart, well-mannered, well-educated, well-bred people. It's tough being a kid, and they need direction. And if you don't give them direction, they'll find it. You know? So that's one of the major failures of education. But there's a lot of good people. I'm not saying they're bad people. It's just that you need men there. When I grew up, you know, we had our gun training, we had Boy Scouts, we had a lot of things where there were men involved in our lives. That doesn't happen anymore.
No, no. No, there's almost no schools or public that have rifle teams anymore. But scouting has become something it never was intended to be. But let's move on from there. Matt, we appreciate your call. Let's go on to Catherine in Maine. Good morning, Catherine.
Hi, John. I wanted to let your last caller know that Charlotte Isserby is the online source for his question. DeliberateDumbingDown.com is still up and running. She did pass away in 2022. I do believe the book is downloadable free on her webpage still. And the Deliberate Dumbing Down of America, DeliberateDumbingDown.com is her website. She's listed in the Yale Skull and Bones Black Book, as was her father and grandfather. And she was recruited to be a change agent. She realized what was going on and became a whistleblower, and Reagan fired her. And my father always called Ronald Reagan Red Ronnie, right? And my father will not be debated by anybody at RBN, all right? My dad knew what was going on. Born in 1920. And she's really brilliant. And I know my father would be very pleased with her, the work that she did. And I did know her personally, but we did have a phone relationship. She did pass away again, 2022, and her work is brilliant, absolutely brilliant. Her mind is to be, it's just, she's brilliant listening to her lectures. And I'm on her webpage now, and she does have an 8-DVD CD set containing speeches and roundtables, okay, with some of the country's foremost education researchers. She goes way down the rabbit hole with all source documentation. So, and just some of her interviews on YouTube are excellent, that I believe are still available. So I just wanted to plant that seed. And when I substitute taught eighth grade in a neighborhood that everyone looks like me, eighth grade, I was 28 years old, third graders could not spell. It's the top of the top district in the state of Texas. Teacher of the Year is coming out of it. Eighth grade, could not spell, should have, could have, would have, etc. In eighth grade, I had two failures. I'm sorry, I had two A's, two C's. Everyone else failed. You could not even read the. I'm 61 now. You couldn't even read the words on the printed lines. And you can't blame it on the immigrants. Can't blame it on anybody. And having a man around can sometimes be quite problematic if they're not an upright man, upright men, moral upright men. Those temperate men that are upright and strong-spined, that's what's, you know, a real blessing in the home to everyone.
Well, yeah, that's one thing that I guess went along with what I was saying. It's not just a guy who's a guy. You need a man who's in control. I wanted to add something to what you're saying.
Okay, go ahead, Jim.
Required reading. Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars. It's on the internet. You can find it. Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars is the CIA master communist plan for taking over education. And read it all the way through. And once you get to the very end, it talks about the subjects that they want to infiltrate. And it's mathematics, science, and logic. And those three things they want to destroy, because they want to be able to control kids. And so what do kids do? They learn science as a whole litany of facts. And so the other thing I suggest is take a look at my education course, because I don't just talk about the problem, I solve it. So you can go out and learn all of the problems you want, but what are you going to do? My course that I offer on my webpage is the solution. And I spent 2 years building that course, more than two years of lectures, of examining science and logic and education. And this is for grade school, actually preschool, because when the kid walks into preschool or kindergarten, the first thing they're labeled with in terms of photos, et cetera, is evolution. That you're just a little smarter monkey than the one there out in the jungle.
Right.
That's what they're taught.
I think it's okay to know both. I think it's okay to know both the history and the solution. And Charlotte does give solutions. And to, I don't want to lose the impression that she did not. So thank you for your time.
Catherine, thank you for your call. We got our last break. We still have a couple of callers on hold, including Oregon and Norway. We'll be right back.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
February is Heart Month, and every year, Extendivite has a sale. This year is no different. Extendivite is regularly $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply. In February, Extendivite is only $57.50 for a 2-month supply plus shipping and handling. Extendivite is a combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. These ingredients work synergistically to improve your overall health. So don't delay. Join the Extendivite family today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names, Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Back. Jim, we're almost out of time. Let's see if we can fit Oregon in here. Oregon in Norway, good morning.
Okay, I'll be quick. Just for the education discussion, very interesting. John Taylor Gatto, you know him, a ton of books. He quit on top in New York Times. He's not educating in schools anymore because he couldn't take the system, and that was in the 80s. What I wanted to, I just wanted to give you all a heads up in case you didn't know. The sun has had some eruptings, I think. I'm not on top of it, but I did check. One of the things that makes the sun unstable would be, according to McCanny's work, there are three comet crossing the ecliptic really direct on the sun, and I guess that would be perhaps why it's acting up. Yeah, I just wanted to hear a comment from Jim.
Okay, Jim, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, thanks. Argon, send me some information on the comets. I've been out of the loop. I wish I had about 80 clones of myself so I could follow all this stuff individually. But exactly. I'll take a look at that and see what's going on. But there, yeah, crossing mm-hmm. the ecliptic, you're aware of that, Argon, so thank you. When they cross the ecliptic, that is a prime time to start discharging the solar capacitor causing the sun to react, increasing the energy going on, returning to the sun. Thank you.
Yes. Okay. Oh. Cheers.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's one last call. We're almost out of time. Jim in Michigan. Morning, Jim. Oh, Jim, we lost Jim, so he's gone. Okay, Jim. Okay. We got less than 2 minutes for you to wrap up your thoughts for the day and for the week, sir.
I saw an article where Amelia Earhart, somebody thinks they discovered her plane.
Well, it's a wealthy man. It's about 16,000 feet deep in the ocean. They need to do some more analysis, but he thinks he may have found it.
Well, I looked at it, the image. It looks like a swept-wing airplane, if it's an airplane. And hers, of course, was not.
Hers was not a swept wing, but, of course, we don't know what damage was done to it as it was crashing. We'll see.
I doubt much. That was a pretty stout aircraft.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it crashed from 30,000 feet, I don't think it would bend the wings equally like that
right. photo well, I haven't,
that
I haven't
saw.
Seen the image, so I can't
But we'll see.
On that. We'll see. It's an 80-year mystery that remains to be solved. And there's a lot of speculation that she was actually captured by the Japanese also.
Right. I've seen those photos, and they look pretty convincing.
Yep, I know. Jim, thank you. Well, have a great week. We'll have you back next week.
Okay.
Top the hour break.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you. Be back with Jeff Nyquist. Stay tuned.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
To Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.